بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم اما بعد الحمد لله tonight is the 27th of July in the year 2020 and alhamdulillah we moved on to the final night the 11th that we're going through the exalted and dear life of our beloved mother Sayyidah Maymuna radiyallahu anha. And I've reached a point where I've mentioned that our beloved mother passes away at the very spot where she consummated her marriage with our beloved messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And I mentioned that four blessed individuals had the honor of going into her grave. Abdullah ibn Abbas, Yazid ibn al-Asam, Ubaydullah ibn Shaddad, and Ubaydullah al-Khawlani is mentioned as well, Abdul Rahman ibn Khalid ibn al-Walid radiyallahu ta'ala. In Nasa'i 5-53, Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhuma said, "This is Maymuna radiyallahu anhu. When you raise her body, then do not make any unnecessary movements." Subhanallah. "This is Maymuna radiyallahu anhu. When you raise her body, do not make any unnecessary movements." So normally with a funeral, you do it very quickly. But he was warning the people, i.e. the family members, do not do anything extra. Just do what you need to do to bury her. Radiyallahu. In Sahih Bukhari, number 5067, Sahih Muslim, number 3455 and 6, in the chapter on Al-Niqah, Nasa'i number 3196, Behaki 7-74, Khatib al-Baghdadi 2-389, Baghbi number 2322. Atta Rahmatullah alayhi said, "We were with Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhu at the funeral of Sayyidina Maymuna radiyallahu anhu in Sarif. Ibn Abbas thereupon said radiyallahu anhu, 'This is the wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Thus, when you lift her bier, فَلَا تُزَعْزِئُ وَلَا تُزَلْزِلُ وَرْفُقُ. Do not shake, do not disturb, but be gentle with her. For Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had 9 wives, 8 of with whom he shared his time, but to one of them he did not allot a share." I, Sayyidah Sauda, had given her time to Sayyidah Aisha. So let's look at this. So this is recorded in Bukhari and Muslim. So look at the words he used. Abdullah ibn Abbas. فَلَا تُزَعْزِئُ. Do not shake her. وَلَا تُزَلْزِلُ. I, do not disturb her. وَرْفُقُ. Be gentle. Previous report, don't make any unnecessary movements. Then he said, these are the wives of Rasulullah. And he mentioned that the Prophet spent time with them each except one. And it was Sauda who gave her time to Aisha radiallahu. In another report, Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma said, "Lift with due respect and walk slowly. Lift with due respect and walk slowly." This is in Ibn Sa'd in his Tabaqat, Hafiz Zahabi in his Sir 2-245, Hafiz Zurqani in his Sharh al-Mawahib 3-250. Now what's strange about that? It's a unique command. The Prophet ﷺ told normally, quick, take the body quickly. If it's good, you're taking him to goodness. If not, get rid of him. What did Ibn Abbas say about Maymuna? Slowly. He goes, lift her gently with respect, walk slowly. Atta also said, Rahmatullah alayh, in Hakim in his Mustadrak 4-33, Sahih, Zahabi, Sahih. Sayyidah Maymuna radiyallahu anha passed away at Sarif, and we thus went out with Ibn Abbas to her. When we lifted her bier, we did not shake or rock it. Because we were very, very careful how we, you know, did the arrangements for her burial radiyallahu anha. So now, why are these narrations important? What are the Sahaba teaching you about our mothers? This was the essential love and respect that the companions taught us with regards to our beloved mothers. Compare that to those who let loose their vile tongues upon them. Think about that. Now think, you know, seriously think about that. If somebody says to you, walk slowly, lift it with respect, don't shake, show love, show affection, etc., etc. And then you compare that to the Lawafit. Cursing them. Right? Aisha came out, and they say Aisha as if it's like a, you know, normal woman. Aisha came out. And then he goes, haven't you learned anything? Right? So they're teaching you. They goes, look, there's no such thing as showing too much love to your mothers. He goes, go the extra yard. But what's happened to those teachings? Astaghfirullah. Sayyidina Yazid radiallahu anhu, the nephew, he said, when we laid her down, her head was sloping down at an angle. Thus I took my cloak and placed it beneath her head. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, however, removed, threw it aside, and he put a stone under her head. This is in Ibn Sa'd in Istabaqat, volume 8, page 98 of the English translation, in the chapter on the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So look at their love. When she was laid to rest, her head was basically tilted back. It was kind of a curve. So Yazid radiallahu, he took his, you know, his cloak. He, you know, doubled it over, kind of a cushion, so she could put her blessed head on it. Ibn Abbas took it off. He put a rock there. Why? Because the rock is more permanent. So look at their love. They were showing their love to say the Maymuna. You could argue, well, she's already going to go to Jannat al-Firdaws. This is just, you know, Bani and then inshallah. No. They wear the extra, you know, yard to show their love to their aunt and of course our mother. Shaykh Hamza Yusuf al-Maliki, Hafizahullah, he once said with a voice choked with emotion, and this is from the Rihla series in Turkey entitled Journey. So he said this and he was very emotional. He goes, what ishq, what love, she wanted to pass away at the very place where she spent the first night with Rasulullah. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Subhanallah. He goes, what ishq, what love, she wanted to pass away at the very place where she had spent the first night with Rasulullah. Forget about Romeo and Juliet. What are you banging about that for, brother? Romeo and Juliet. Everybody knows about it as well. That's so shocking. Oh yeah, Shakespeare. Are they your role models? Do they even exist? Is it just a story? What are you going through fiction for? What about the true love? Right? Somebody goes to you. True love, brother. Have you heard of Maymuna? I haven't got a clue. Right? They go, who's that? It's your mother. Right? Next minute, no, that's not my mother. Astaghfirullah. Right? They go, no, it's the mother of the believers. Do you know how much love she had for Rasulullah? Where she spent the first night with him. Imagine that first night. What was going through her blessed heart? I want to be buried here. This is the place where I had intimacy with the greatest of creation. Did Allah Ta'ala fulfill that? Think about that. So what Shaykh Hamza was saying was, this is ishq. This is love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Our beloved mother Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha, upon hearing of her tragic passing, she said with grief, by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Maymuna is gone. Indeed, she was the most fearful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of us, and the one who joined the ties of kinship the most. Subhanallah. This is in Hakim in his Mustadrak 4-32, Sahih. Sheikh Shu'ib al-Arnaut in his Hamish Siyad 2-244, says Hassan. So look at Aisha's place. First she goes, she's gone. Now why did she say that? Because when you look at great people, you think they're going to live. We're going to die, they're going to live. The first day when she goes, she's gone. In other words, how could such a woman leave? Then she said, she was the most fearful of Allah amongst us, amongst the wives. And she joined the ties of kinship the most. So Aisha was grieving too much, radiallahu. Thus passed away our beloved mother, Sayyida Maymuna, radiallahu, the most illustrious of the blessed sisters, radiallahu ta'ala, maternal sister of our other beloved mother, Sayyida Zainab bin Khuzayma, radiallahu. So think about that. Zainab bin Khuzayma, the mother of the believers, passed away in Medina. Her sister passed away 40 or so years later. sister-in-law of Abu Bakr Siddiq, sister-in-law of Ali ibn Abu Talib, sister-in-law of Hamza, the chief of martyrs, sister-in-law of Ja'far, the one who flies in paradise, radiallahu, sister-in-law of Walid ibn al-Mughira, the father of Khalid bin Walid, the aunt of the gallant Khalid ibn Walid, radiallahu, and Abdullah ibn Abbas, Tarjaman al-Quran, radiallahu, the one whose generosity was such, she would take out loans simply to give to others. Subhanallah. The phenomenal worshipper, the one whom our beloved mother Aisha described as the most fearful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one who joined ties of kinship the most, the last of the elite beloved mothers of the believers to marry our exalted messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the one laid to rest at the very place of consummation of their blessed marriage. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be well pleased with her and forgive us all for her honorable sake. Ameen. What date did she leave the world? With regards to her date of passing, Hafiz ibn Kathir said, rahmatullah alayh, I note that her death came at Sarif in 63 AH, or according to others, 60 AH. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be well pleased with her. In Ibn Kathir, Seerah, volume 3, page 317 of the English translation. So this is very interesting. 60 AH. So how far have you gone into the Khilafat? You've gone past Muawiyah's Khilafat. According to this report, Muhammad ibn Umar confirmed, she passed away in 61 AH during the Khalifat of Yazid ibn Muawiyah. She was the last of the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to pass away. When she passed away, she was 80 or 81. She was childless. This is in Ibn Sa'd in Istabaqat, volume 8, page 99 of the English translation, in the chapter on the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, with the sahih chain of transmission. But now there's a problem here. If she passed away in Yazid's Khalifat, and she was the last mother to pass away, then how could Aisha praise her? If you're listening very carefully, if she's the last mother to pass away, you just mentioned that Aisha praised her. Thus, Shaykh al-Ahadith Maulana Idris Sahib Kandahlawi rahmatullah alayhi clarified in Seerat al-Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, volume 3, page 335 of the English translation, she passed away in 51 AH during the second half of Muawiyah's Khalifat. And the narrator made a mistake. He said, instead of saying 51 AH, he said 61 AH. Have you understood? Right? He added 10 years by accident. And the proof is, Aisha passed away 58 AH. So how could she be speaking from the grave? Radiallahu. So she passed away in Sayyidina Muawiyah's Khalifat. Radiallahu. And what's interesting, Hafiz ibn Kathir confirmed later in Al-Bidayah, when he went on to mention the mothers of the believers who passed away during Muawiyah's Khalifat, Habiba radiallahu anha passed away 44 AH, fourth year of Muawiyah's Khalifat radiallahu anha. That was Muawiyah's sister radiallahu anha. Hafsa radiallahu anha passed away 45 AH, fifth year of Muawiyah's Khalifat. Juwayriya radiallahu anha 50 AH, 10 years into Muawiyah's Khalifat radiallahu anha. Maymuna radiallahu anha 51 AH, 11th year of Muawiyah's Khalifat. Sauda radiallahu anha 54 AH, 14th year of Muawiyah's Khalifat. And Aisha radiallahu anha in the year 58 AH, 18th year of Muawiyah's Khalifat. So if somebody was to ask you, when did most of our mothers leave the world to rejoin our beloved messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Muawiyah's Khalifat radiallahu anha. Her sacred chamber in Al-Madinah was willed to her cousin, to her nephew Abdullah ibn Abbas. Because now the mothers passed away, what's going to happen to the chamber? She had willed give it to Ibn Abbas. Why? In Ahmad in his Musnad, number 2377, Hassan, Muhammad ibn Amr rahmatullah alayhi said, I entered upon Ibn Abbas in the dwelling of Maymuna, the wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, on a Friday morning. Sayyidah Maymuna radiallahu anha had given the dwelling to him in her will. So it's clearly mentioned in Imam Ahmad's Musnad, she'd given her chamber to Ibn Abbas. Why? The sacred chamber remained with the august Ahl al-Bayt, was used by the cousin of Rasulullah to further propagate the deen. She still wanted rewards. She was thinking, my nephew, he is a teacher. What better place to teach than the chamber which is given to me? So she said, Ibn Abbas takes it. And what did he do with that chamber? He used it as a university. So Ibn Abbas had the honor, radiallahu. But now this is what's shocking. Astaghfirullah. The authorities tried to remove the grave of Maymuna. Think about that. Right? Because they wanted to build, you know, roads. So what happened? A miracle was observed recently at her blessed resting place. Sheikh Muhammad Ilyas Attar relates in his work Rafiqul Mu'tamirin, page 83 of the English translation. Her grave is located in the middle of the road. According to many eyewitnesses, a bulldozer was brought to demolish the blessed grave. The bulldozer turned upside down as he got close. This happened many times. Thus eventually they enclosed it with walls. How great the miracle of our mother, Sayyidah Maymuna. Look at these crackpots. What are you doing to the grave of your mother? We need to have a dual carriageway. Right? So what did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala do? Would he allow that? Imagine the guy on the bulldozer. Next minute, bulldozer turns down. Just like the elephants couldn't go and enter the harem. They stopped when they saw the Kaaba. Fruitcake still tried it. Put bulldozer back home. Bulldozer turned over again. Then they clicked. Like, what the heck are we doing? Then what did they do? Well, we're going to have to build a wall around it. And if you go, that's exactly what it is. Next to a jewel carriageway with walls around it. So Allah Ta'ala showed them a sign. So they should have woke up thinking, forget this jewel bloody carriageway. Astaghfirullah. Allah Ta'ala is showing, what else do you want? You've seen a miracle. Right? But they still, the only izzat they had was they put a wall around it. And like I mentioned, when you go there, how tragic and heartbreaking to know that our beloved mother's resting place is literally deserted and left neglected next to a jewel carriageway. We went there. Even the driver didn't know. He goes, hey, this is the grave of our mother. And we're there and then thinking, what is this? Astaghfirullah. Alas, we would not have done this to our own biological mother's resting place, let alone the mothers of all the believers. Now think about this. She passed away 1,400 years ago, or thereabouts. These fruitcakes, 1,350 or God knows how many years ago, did Allah Ta'ala tolerate it, even though more than 1,000 years have passed? Allah Ta'ala is telling the Ummah, these are your mothers. Is this what you're going to do? What are you going to do? Bulldozer, not even a ceremony. At least you show some respect. Okay, you're going to take the grave. You know, what about getting the scholars involved? Right? You know, what are you doing? Get bulldozer. Imagine. They probably thought, oh, there's nothing here now anyway. Let's just bulldoze it. Nothing there. You know, what sort of belief have you got? Astaghfirullah. So look at that. For the end of the blessed life of Maymuna, radiyallah. I conclude by asking my Lord's forgiveness for any shortcomings with regards to describing one of his most beloved servants after his chosen prophets. For after all is said and done, the ink and pages eventually finish, but not so the endless virtues and rank of our dear and beloved mother, Sayyidah Maymuna, radiyallahu. So let's conclude with two narrations and a few verses. In Qurtubi, in his tafsir, our beloved messenger said about all his wives, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, my wives in this world are my wives in the hereafter. My wives in this world, every one of them, are my wives in the hereafter. Secondly, put in Ibn Asakir in his Arba'een number 36 on the memorable qualities of the mothers of the believers, he states, Hassan, Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu relates that our beloved messenger said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, la yadkhulun nara man tazawwaja ilayhi. He will not enter the fire who allied himself to me through marriage, or to whom I allied myself through marriage. My in-laws, the Prophet is basically saying, the fire is forbidden to them. my brother-in-laws, my sister-in-laws, the fire is forbidden to them. That's how dear they are to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So why are these narrations very important? Because it shows that our mothers are not like the Prophet's wives. Because the previous Prophet's wives, alayhi salatu wasalam, they weren't even guaranteed iman. Lut alayhi salatu wasalam's wife was a kafir. Quran. Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam's wife was a kafir. So what do fruitcakes start thinking? Well, what's special about our Prophet's wives then? There you go. Right? So you say, there's a heaven and earth difference. Because Rasulullah said, my wives in this world are my wives in the akhirah. He didn't say there's rotten apples amongst them. And what do the Rawafid do to this day? They love reciting Surah Tahrim. Where Lut alayhi salatu's wives condemned, and they quote it because the wives of the Prophet were told off. And Allah is telling you about them in this surah. And then you respond by saying, they're not like the previous Prophet's wives. Because Rasulullah's status was unique. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And in the Quran, Allah the Almighty and Glorious says in Surah Al-Ahzab, Surah 33, verse 32, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Ya nisa'an nabiyyi lastunna ka ahadim minan nisa'. All wives of the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you are not like any other women. Subhanallah. All wives of the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you are not like any other women. What are these so-called Muslims brought them down to? Allah Ta'ala said, you're not like any other women. So we think, yeah, because they're in the heavens. They say no, because they're in the sewer. Astaghfirullah. Same verse. Another verse, Surah Al-Ahzab, Surah 33, verse 6. Allah the Almighty and Glorious says, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. النبي أولى بالمؤمنين من أنفسهم وأزواجه أمهاتهم. The Prophet ﷺ is closer to the believers than their own selves. And his wives are their mothers. Look at this verse. Oh, this is a very serious thorn in the side of the Rawafid, this verse. Why? Because Allah Ta'ala said, they're your mothers. They start choking on this verse, literally. Right? Is Aisha your mother? Ask him that question. Is Aisha your mother? Watch him go down like, you know, they're skating on the ring. Is Aisha your mother? No, but she came out and fought. I didn't ask you that. Is she your mother? Allah Ta'ala is called your mother. So what are you saying? Why is it interesting that Allah Ta'ala doesn't mention the mothers first? He mentions the Prophet first. The Prophet is closer to the believers than their own selves. Then he mentions the wives. And his wives are their mothers. Meaning, they go together. It's because of Rasulullah, their sanctity is so high. It's the immensity of the prophetic rank. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Third verse. Surah Al-Ahzab, Surah 33, verse 33. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. إِنَّمَا يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ لِيُذْهِبَ عَنْكُمُ الرِّجْسَ أَحْلَ الْبَيْتِ وَيُطَحِّرُكُمْ تَطْحِيرًا. Verily, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only intends to keep filth away from you, O Ahlul Bayt, and to purify you with a Tudha purification. Allah Ta'ala promises that He will give them a Tudha purification, meaning sinless. The blessed family members of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Fourth verse. In Surah Al-Ahzab, Surah 33, verse 53. Audhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. وَمَا كَانَ لَكُمْ أَن تُؤْذُوا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ وَلَا أَن تَنْكِحُوا أَزْوَاجَهُ مِنْ بَعْدِهِ عَبَدًا. إِنَّ ذَٰلِكُمْ كَانَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ عَظِيمًا. It is not right for you that you should annoy Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, nor that you should ever marry his wives after him. Verily, that would be an enormous sin in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? Don't annoy my messenger. Think about that. People, crackpots, Muslims, you know, they're saying things about the Prophet now. Yeah, you know, he's just a prophet. Don't talk to people like that, right? Give you blood pressure. But Allah Ta'ala is saying, don't annoy my messenger. Then he says, no, you should ever marry his wives after him. If you did, what does he say? In kana indallahi azima. This would be enormous crime. And yet, what do people say about the Prophet's wives? And to each and every one of these noble, blessed souls, Allah Ta'ala revealed this passage in Surah Al-Fajr, Surah 89, verse 27 to 30. Ya ayyatuhan nafsul mutma'innah irji'i ila rabbiki radiyatan mardiyah fadkhuli fi ibadi wadkhuli jannati. To the righteous soul, it will be said, O soul in complete rest and satisfaction, come back to your Lord, well pleased and well pleasing unto Him. Enter you amongst my servants. Yes, enter you into my paradise. Subhanallah. Allah Ta'ala says that this is the glad tidings to Nafsul Mutma'inna. So to all the awliyas, this is the glad tidings. Nafsul, if you get Nafsul Mutma'inna, that nafs at peace, or your nafs is now under control, you will be given these great glad tidings. So if the awliya get these glad tidings, don't you think the sahaba is going to get it? And if the sahaba get it, don't you think our mothers are going to get it? People say, where's the evidence for what? You need evidence to tell you whether your mothers are going to go to paradise. Right? Think about that. So note, and hopefully, going through their blessed lives, you'll have a connection with our beloved mothers. And when you go to pay your respects, at least you'll have some connection. Right? 10 miles outside of the holy city of Makkah, next to a jewel carriageway, that's where our beloved mother lays buried, radiyallahu anha. Are there any questions you'll ever ask? سبحان ربي الحمد لله اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك واعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم سبحان ربك رب العزه عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والاصل الانسان لفي خسر الذين امنوا وعملوا الصالحات وواصل الحق وواصل الصبر صلى الله عليه وسلم